Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Aidan, thank you very much. My apologies for rechristening Aidan. I was giving him my next guest name because we want to talk to Vincent McAvinney now about this news that in the UK, smoking could be banned in pub, gardens, football stadiums and playgrounds. The plan is reported in the Sun newspaper this morning, and it says that outdoor restaurants, open-air spaces at clubs and pavements next to them might all be smoke-free. Well, for more on this, Vincent McAvinney is with us now, London-based journalist. Vincent, you're very welcome. This story, it's a leak of a government proposal published in the Sun newspaper. So give us the details of what's in the plan.
You did panic me there. I was going to have to do a full bulletin. That's everyone's
That's next
nightmare.
Time.
Yeah. Well, the proposals that the Sun are reporting would see smoking extended. The ban that was brought in back in 2007 in all enclosed spaces, including pubs, restaurants, workplaces, that would be extended to the outdoor areas. So if you think pub gardens, restaurant terraces, but also hospital grounds and all sporting facility grounds as well. So this would be a big extension to try and push smoking out of public spaces as much as possible.
And the fact that it was leaked, I see some speculation this morning that it may be a bit of a kite flying exercise by the Labour government. Is that being said?
Well, that is potentially an option that they've gone for. The department themselves, I said, we don't comment on leaks, but smoking costs the NHS billions of pounds a year and tens of thousands of lives are lost prematurely due to smoking. So the government and health department position is very clear that they need to reduce smoking. And it has to be said, even the last government was pretty strong on this. What Keir Starmer is actually doing is rectifying a bill that was lost because of the general election that Rishi Sunak was working on, called the Tobacco and Vaping Bill. And that would bring in one of the strictest measures anywhere in the world on smoking. It was something that New Zealand were piloting but then abandoned with their change of government, which is that anyone born after 2009 will never be able to buy a tobacco product, so effectively killing off smoking in the long term. Now, there was cross-party support from this, from Sir Keir Starmer, because they needed Labour votes to get it over the line, the Conservatives. And it seems Keir Starmer is not only keen to bring that back, but also to make things even stricter when it comes to clean air.
And what has been the reaction to the bit of the plan that he has added on, you know, this ban in the beer gardens and the outdoor spaces? How have people been reacting to that this morning, Vincent?
Well, as you say, kite flying. We've already heard from the likes of Nigel Farage this morning, a very keen smoker, that he thinks it's, you know, it's against rights and it's draconian and the rest. What is interesting is how much he will marshal the Conservative field. Tom Tugendhat, who's one of the contenders for the Conservative leadership, he's doing a big campaign launch today. I'm going along to it and I'll be interviewing him and asking him about this. It seems that all the leadership candidates themselves are saying that this is a step too far. So they sort of are marching still to Farage's drum, it seems, when, you know, the other part of this, of course, is health campaigners saying that this is a good step. But the pubs society saying that, look, our members are struggling as it is. They've already invested money in smoking spaces outside. And this could be really problematic for them. Whether or not that bears out, we'll see. Because, you know, as in Ireland, as here in the UK, that was said again when the smoking ban came in 2007, that it would kill off restaurants and pubs. And it didn't do that. And most people would say it was a good change. And when you go to a country now where they still have smoking indoors, it is such a shock when you go back into that environment and think, how did we ever live like this?
Yeah, you mentioned Rishi Sunak's plan during the election campaign. And at that time, there was pushback from within the government, wasn't there, with the business department saying, look, this is going to impact hospitality, echoing those concerns from restaurant and pub owners. Is that likely to happen when, you know, they're told, well, you're going to have to ask people not to smoke in your beer garden? Will the business department, do you think, at this point, under the Labour government, say this is just a step too far?
They may potentially do that, but I think there'll be an equally strong pushback from the health department saying, you know, the cost to the NHS is now running into the billions. And if you ask any doctor in this country what's the best thing that could be done for the health service, apart from saying that we should all probably go on a better diet, it is cutting out smoking as much as possible and stopping the next generation from smoking. So there will be that, you know, dissent. I don't think, though, that, you know, the claims are tangible, that the impact, I think, will be moderate. I mean, most people already, you know, are well used now to going outside to smoke. lots of places don't have beer gardens, and so you then get people on pavements and in the, you know, roads having to smoke. And so it'll just be a case of having to do that when there is a beer garden.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the other thing that this is going to do is allow those candidates for the Tory leadership to have a little bit of a battle, to show people their mettle, to show where they stand on issues like this. And we're already seeing that play out with Robert Jenrick and Priti Patel, as you mentioned, coming out very fast and very hard against this.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what you have to remember in terms of what you hear from all the Tory leadership candidates over the next few months is that they are not appealing to the population as a whole. They are appealing to around 150,000 of their members who are predominantly older male in rural areas who will get to vote on who the leader is. They haven't done any kind of exercise like the Labour Party have done over the last decade to try and, you know, do a cheap sort of discount to bring new members in to try and make the electorate a bit more within their party representative of the whole of the country. And so they will naturally all be tacking to the right and jumping on this as something that they can fight out. But if they're all on the same page on this, well, it's kind of not really much of a fight, really. It isn't an issue that they can kind of take sort of nuanced and different views on.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you in general terms, the response to Keir Starmer's speech in the Rose Garden on Monday, where he said things are going to get worse before they get better, that has been criticised as lacking in hope, given the majority that they have. Do you think it is seen as a negative against the Labour government that his first big speech contains such warnings about the future?
I think what Labour are trying to do, and I do agree, there was a bit of a, you know, there could have been a bit of a rejoinder at the end of that speech to give a bit more hope. But I think Keir Starmer is looking at this as a 10-year project. He thinks that the majority he's had is going to keep him in Downing Street for the next decade. And they are trying to craft a narrative arc because they think that storytelling is the crucial thing in politics now. And he wants to be able to say in 2 years' time, 3 years' time, when he's turned things around and maybe the country is on a bit more of an upward trajectory towards the next election, which will be in 5 years. Do you remember when I had to stand in the Rose Garden and tell you how much of a mess the Tories had left it and how sad and dispiriting that was? I hated having to give that speech, but I wanted to be real with you. I'll keep being real with you. That is why they did that speech, because he's got the political, you know, the political honeymoon is coming to an end, but they still have a lot of political capital. But he thinks he needs to frame the next 5 years as going from a real low to a high under his leadership.
Mm-hmm. Vincent, thank you very much. Vincent McAvinney there, London-based reporter. I just see in the last couple of minutes, a poll has been published by Reuters and Ipsos. This poll was taken in relation to the US presidential race and has some interesting numbers in it. I'll just briefly bring you the headlines. So Kamala Harris is now leading Donald Trump, 45% to 41%. And then if you dig deeper into those numbers, she has a 13 percentage point lead amongst women and Hispanic voters. This is in this brand new poll just published in the last few minutes by Reuters and Ipsos. No doubt we'll be hearing more detail on that as we go through the day.